exciting to see what God is doing. So as we come to open God's word today, I hope you're ready for God to speak. This has been a wee challenge this week as I've been looking into the life of Joseph as we start this series. I have to be honest with you, I've had this series up my sleeve for probably a year and a half, and it kept getting dunted and dunted and dunted. But now it's here and it's happening. I want to ask you a question as we get started though, and I want you to be honest. Who's got a good memory of when you were younger? Who's got a kind of vivid memory? Now, some of you are still younger, so that should be all right. I'm thinking of those who are maybe a wee bit more mature in age. Remembering and thinking back to when you were maybe the same age as we're going to discover Joseph. Anybody remember when you were 17? Anybody remember what you were up to? Or what you shouldn't have been up to? It's quite interesting. I have got an absolutely rubbish memory when it's talking about things of the past. And some people can remember things like it was just yesterday, as if it's just happened. And other people, it's like, I don't remember that at all. And I kind of come into that category. Some significant events, some significant things that happened, yes. But most stuff, nah, unless it made a big impact, it's kind of gone from my memory. But we're finding Joseph today at age 17. And I don't know what life looked like for you at 17. Lindsay, can you put my wee slide up for me? Recognize any of these folks? Joy, you haven't changed, to be honest. You, like, although how much does Faith look like you right now? All your veins look like you, to be honest. Mike, they look like you as well, but the Freckleton genes are strong in your family. And then we've got Chris Surgeon in the middle. Oh, he's a bonny boy, isn't he? I'll not ask Julie what he was up to at 17 at that point, but what a day we had last week for the wedding. Absolutely incredible. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. They're away on their honeymoon and enjoying, and I'm hoping he's watching right now because there's no excuse. They've not got anything else today. So that's what that is. And then at the end, we've got Matthew McCulloch. Matthew, that's a belter. And I can imagine you still doing that pose at some point. But 17 years ago, or 17, when you're 17, seems so far away for some. But some of you have got it to look forward to. For me, I was just waiting for 17 to pass my driving test so that I could get my car, which we had bought, accident damaged. And 3 days after passing my test, was accident damaged. Took it into a lamppost on the way to church. And do you know, for years that lamppost was always on. Never ever went off. I never reported it, though. But anyway. But for some of us this morning, you're heading towards hitting 17 at some point in the future. For some of you, that moment was a long time ago. But we're going to look at some lessons from the life of Joseph at 17. And I think it's significant this morning that God uses this 17-year-old to achieve something amazing as we look over the whole of his life over these next couple of weeks. But something I was quite struck by and reminded of is it didn't start too well. And we're going to get some lessons from a really dysfunctional family this morning. I was going to ask, is there anybody here that was brought up in a dysfunctional family? But I don't want everybody's hands to go up all at once. Do you know, some people look for that perfect family, the perfect family setup. You know that one you see on Instagram when all the Waynes are smiling, but you haven't seen 30 seconds before when it's like, gonna move, gonna do it. We've got a picture in the house, I meant to bring it, of Samuel when he was a baby. He hated getting his picture taken, still does. And it's all of us looking really good, but my expression looks like a smile, but it's honestly going, gonna stop that. But anyway, catching a glimpse of life and a family at this moment in time when we connect with them in Genesis 37 has quite a few problems. It's got a long way to go. And in fact, we see that because of some of the decisions that Dad made, things aren't working out the way they should. We see through some of the decisions that Joseph makes at 17, he maybe could have been a wee bit wiser in his approach. But there's something significant that's happening in this passage that is going to prepare a nation for the future. And it starts with a 17-year-old. So if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to Genesis 37, we're going to just read the first few verses and really catch a glimpse of what was happening. We're in Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we're going to see the start of something quite amazing in Joseph's life. It says, so Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the history of Jacob's family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported his father some for the bad things that his brothers were doing. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gave Joseph a special gift, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's partiality. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing them to hate him even more. Listen to this dream, he announced. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain, and my bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it. So you're going to be our king, are you? His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and for what he had said. Then Joseph had another dream and told his brothers about it. Listen to this dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told his father as well as his brothers. And his father rebuked him. What do you mean? His father asked. Will your mother, your brothers, and I actually come and bow before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father gave it some thought and wondered what it all meant. And we'll leave our reading there for just now. We catch a glimpse of a family that seems to have been destroyed in relationships together. Favoritism from Jacob towards Joseph had caused major division. And I suppose there's a lesson in that for us. I was thinking about it in terms of my life. I know I was my mum and dad's favourite. But like others in the room, I was an only child. That was all right. Until Samuel came along. And if you remember at my mum's Thanksgiving service, that was his opening line. My dad thought he was a favourite until I came along. But favouritism in this family was going to cause a division. These brothers resented everything about Joseph. Every word that he said, every action that he took. And you can imagine what life was like. That horrible feeling in your gut as you saw him coming. And for Joseph, wondering what the reaction of his brothers were going to be. Knowing full well that his dad had given him special treatment. While they were out in the fields looking after the sheep and their work gear, dad was giving him the best clothes, the best start. And this caused a problem. And Jacob really should have known better not to have any favourites. Because this was going to be the start of the downfall that Joseph was experiencing. It was going to take him on a journey. And when you actually see how he handled this journey over the next few weeks, it's remarkable the way that Joseph carries himself, even as a result of these brothers hating him. Did you hear what it said? It says they hated him all the more. Sometimes that can happen in families. Sometimes that can happen within friendships. Sometimes that division can be so strong and so raw that it means that there's no peace. There's no freedom. And this family would have been fighting this every single day. I think this lesson of Jacob as he looked on, yes, Joseph was special. Yes, he had come to him in old age. I can imagine him saying every time he looked at him, oh, there's my boy, there's my baby boy. But how that impacted everybody else was going to cause absolute chaos. But it doesn't discount the fact that when Joseph was 17, God revealed something really special and important to him. God, through this dream, in fact, the two dreams, was going to let him see into the future something that he couldn't see right there and then. Did he fully understand what this journey was going to look like? No chance. But this is where Joseph's downfall was. Because rather than finding the best way to communicate this to his family, I can imagine it was a wee bit like on that video. I can't wait to tell my brothers what's just been revealed to me. And again, this is where Joseph's wisdom really didn't come in to play. And again, it's where we can learn this morning how we communicate is so key. And the way that we communicate and the motive behind how we communicate is so important. And you'll know the times when you communicate and you're going to try and bring somebody else down. You're going to try and bring them lower. You're going to try and turn them against. You'll know the times when that's the reality in your conversation and your heart and your communication. But equally, you know the flip of that. If we could only get that right. If rather than hatred like these brothers experienced toward Joseph, we just loved each other. And when we communicated, that love was poured out. That love brought healing in that relationship, whether it be in family, friends, or whatever it might be. That we don't build up resentment and hold it back. And also we don't try and get one up on somebody. So easy to do. And that's why it's amazing when you find Joseph at this point in the story, as we're going to unpack it, is to see Joseph. God's revealed to you at 17 your call, your purpose, your mission in life. But at that point, he didn't really know how to handle it properly. And maybe that's the same for us today. The big mistake that Jacob had made, favoring Joseph over everybody. I believe the mistake that Joseph made in terms of how he communicated this amazing call that God had on his life. Unique call. This was going to be world changing. And at 17 year old, God revealed that to him. And I want to tell you this morning, folks, that excites me. Because I believe that God can call 17 year old, 15 year old, 12 year old in this place today and even younger and reveal to them his plan and purpose and the way he's going to use them. Whether that be right now, or whether that be in the future. Sometimes we discount young folk in terms of their call of God. I will wait till you're a wee bit older and then listen to you. But God can move even now. And God does speak when these young folk are so close to him. Because one of the things that I realized as we started to look at this is that Joseph must have been close to God. As a 17-year-old, he must have been close to God for God to speak to him and to reveal his plan for him. Young team, stay close to God now. See what God wants to do in you and through you and be open to listen to him, to experience him, to discover him. But that's not just for the young folk. That's for everybody that's in this room. Imagine that night when Joseph went to sleep and he caught a glimpse of this dream and started to try and, in his own mind, figure out what it meant. He knew it was significant. And when you look at the pictures involved in these, he obviously knew that he was there at the center of it. He saw that his brothers and his mum and dad were going to be involved as well. But this would be the start of a discovery for Joseph. To say, what does this actually mean? What does this actually look like? And if I'm going to pursue God's way for my life, then I'm going to have to totally trust him every step of the way. And at 17 years old, you would think to yourself, well, good on you, son. Stay close to God. Listen to what he's saying. Apply it in your lives. And it's no different today. I believe that God wants to do something big in each one of our lives. And you might think, John, that's